have talked a lot in the past couple of weeks about the news that was made at the Republican and the Democratic Party conventions. We also talked about Libertarian Party politics following the Libertarian Convention earlier this summer. This weekend, the Green Party is convening and is expected to nominate Jill Stein. What role will Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein play in the presidential race? Will disappointed Bernie Sanders voters choose her instead of Hillary Clinton? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, August 5th. So who plans to vote for the Green Party ticket in November? Why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest ran for the state legislature on the Green Party ticket. He's not actively involved in the Green Party right now, but he follows them in politics. He's one of our regular Week in Review guests, so we thought he would be perfect for this discussion on the role that the Green Party might play in the presidential race and third parties in general, even crossover voting. Now we're hearing this week that Republicans, some prominent Republicans, are saying that they're going to vote for Hillary Clinton instead of Donald Trump. Our guest is Tony Palmieri, a professor of communications at UW Oshkosh, a media columnist for the Fox Valley Scene, one of our regular Week in Review guests. He was a Green Party candidate for the legislature in 2004. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So, I don't know. What do you think about? You're not a big active Green Party guy now, right, Tony?
No, I'm not very active in the party, but I do follow Green Party politics very, very closely. So, I'm very glad that you're doing this program.
Yeah. So, no surprise with who the Green Party is going to nominate, right? It's going to be Jill Stein.
Yeah, it will be Jill Stein. She ran a very credible race in 2012. I had an opportunity to meet her in 2012. She actually came to Oshkosh 4 years ago and spoke. Really a brilliant person, very energetic, very committed to grassroots organizing. The kind of person that millions of Americans would take to if they could get an opportunity to hear her. In fact, I heard yesterday that CNN will have a town hall with Jill Stein on August 17th at 9 p.m., so your listeners might want to tune in for that.
So what do you think, Tony? Do you think that a number of Bernie Sanders supporters who are disappointed he didn't get the nomination are going to be turning to Jill Stein, or what are your thoughts on this?
You know, I think they are more likely to turn to Jill Stein if the Democratic Party persists in lecturing them about what they need to do in November. I mean, what I find a little bit disturbing is that the Democrats, I think quite appropriately and accurately, have shown that Donald Trump became nominee of the Republican Party largely on the basis of fear appeals. And we were told for months that a campaign based on fear and anger is not a good ethical campaign. I agree with that. Well, then to turn around and say you've got to vote for Hillary Clinton to prevent Donald Trump from becoming president, that's simply another fear appeal. And I don't think that voters, especially many millennial voters, are going to be persuaded to vote for Hillary Clinton on that angle. Yeah. You know, if the Democratic Party is taking my advice, I think what they need are some clear, affirmative, positive reasons for voting for their candidate and not simply fear. You know, appeals based on fear, it seems to me, are not going to work to draw candidates to the Democrat side.
So thinking back to Hillary Clinton's acceptance speech at the Democratic nomination, Democratic convention, she was saying, okay, we are, you know, we're going to raise the minimum wage. We're going to get, you know, big special interest money out of politics. We're going to have free college tuition. She was listing a long list of what she called a progressive platform. Is that not what Bernie Sanders supporters wanted to hear?
Yeah, I think she made some real progress in that speech. I think she showed that she was listening. The Sanders campaign, in my judgment, made Hillary Clinton a much, much better candidate. But I also believe at the same time that convention was occurring, we got the WikiLeaks emails released that showed what probably everyone already knew, which was that the Democratic Party hierarchy was very anti-Sanders from the beginning, did what it could to ensure that his campaign would not be taken seriously, actively worked behind the scenes to support Hillary Clinton. And, you know, people are watching and listening to that. I also think that the selection of Tim Kaine as the vice presidential nominee was probably not the best selection if your interest was in getting the Sanders vote. It's interesting that the Trump campaign has tapped into the fact that this is a very populist year, and the Democrats have chosen the most establishment candidate possible in a very populist year. And, you know, being establishment, they went and chose Tim Kaine as VP, a very establishment guy. This really would have been a great year to choose someone like Elizabeth Warren as VP. I mean, someone who really connects with the populist base, or even someone like Sherrod Brown, the senator from Ohio, who at least has a language that the white working class that is connecting with Trump could identify with.
Yeah, you don't buy that would have been risky because those senators would not be replaced with Democrats based on the states, their governors.
I think 2016 is not the year to think in those conventional terms. You know, the Trump campaign has thrown all the conventional arguments and all the conventional rules out the window. And for the Democrats to respond in the traditional, let's not take risks, let's be cautious manners, I just don't think that that helps. But, you know, having said all this, Joe, I want to make it clear to your listeners, I personally am not in the never Hillary camp.
Okay.
I'm going to spend a lot of time listening to the argument.
You know what, Tony, I'm going to jump in, and I'm going to ask producer Naeja Ellison to check on your telephone line. We're going to maybe call you back to get a little cleaner connection because we have some static going on, and we want to hear you. And we want to hear from you, dear listener. So are you a Green Party supporter? Are you formerly someone who voted for Bernie Sanders, perhaps, in the Wisconsin primary, and now you're not sure if you're going to vote for Hillary Clinton or not? Or did you decide you will vote for Hillary Clinton? Are you looking at the Green Party's Jill Stein as an alternative or someone else? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We thought we would take a look at the role the Green Party and other third parties might play in this presidential race. The Green Party is holding its nominating convention as we speak in Texas. Jill Stein is expected to get that nomination tomorrow, I believe. So will you be voting for her or not? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We're trying to get a little better connection with our guest, Tony Palmieri. He is a professor of communications at UW Oshkosh and a media columnist for the Fox Valley Scene. He is one of our regular guests in our Week in Review. And he was a Green Party candidate for the state legislature in 2004. Well, since we're still playing with getting a clean line with him, I'm going to go to Mary in Pewaukee to see what Mary has to say. Hi, Mary.
Yes. Hi, Joy. Good morning. I wanted to just say that I definitely would vote for Dr. Jill Stein, although I'm still not sure if I'm going to maybe write in Bernie Sanders. But when people say that they're so disgusted with the two choices, you know, Hillary or Donald Trump, which I also am, I believe that at least we'd be voting for some good and positive and progressive candidates that are going to help our nation and the world. And also that I think they would win by a landslide if Bernie joined her her party. And I did call his office yesterday or day before yesterday, and they did say that he was not planning on this. So I was very sad because I've still been hoping for some wonderful outcome.
Yeah. Tony, we have you back, I understand, on your cell phone, which
yes,
is funny.
I'm back.
You sound much better, and it is funny. Landlines sometimes give us more static than cell phones.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah. And we just have about 45 seconds before our news break. Why doesn't Bernie Sanders join the Green Party or the Stein ticket?
I think Bernie, like a lot of politicians who've been in Washington for too long, want to be able to continue to have lunch at the White House. I mean, if Bernie had distanced himself from the Democratic Party, that would have he would have been given the Nader treatment, right? I mean, Nader's been given the cold shoulder since 2000 by the establishment politicians, and I think it was important for Bernie to maintain his credibility with the establishment. I mean, I think it's unfortunate. I think he made a mistake in doing that. I was hoping that he would, at the very least at the convention, tell people to vote their conscience.
We will talk more about the Green Party party's role in the presidential race after the news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about Green Party politics this hour. The Green Party is holding its convention in Texas this week. We are talking about the role the Green Party and the presumptive nominee, Jill Stein, will have on our presidential race. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions and wondering if you are going to be voting green or are you going to be voting some other party. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest ran for the state legislature under the Green Party in 2004. Tony Palmieri is a professor of communications at UW Oshkosh and a media columnist for the Fox Valley Scene. And we have a number of callers and Facebook comments. Let me just reset this segment with Rich on Facebook, who says, neither Jill Stein nor Gary Johnson, the Libertarian presidential candidate, will win a single state when it comes to what counts, electoral votes. However, the lack of conscience on the part of some former Bernie supporters may give us Trump, who embodies none of their beliefs. Why would they do this? Revenge? Spite? What? Well, how do you answer that, Tony?
I think there are a lot of voters out there who really want to vote for what they believe in. I mean, they're tired of lesser evil politics. And a vote for Jill Stein is a vote for Jill Stein. It's that simple. Yeah, these are the same people who believe that it was Nader that gave us George W. Bush. But what they often forget to point out is that Nader got 97,000 votes in Florida, but over 200,000 registered Democrats that year in Florida voted for George W. Bush. And that is the group that the Democrats need to find a way to connect with. Scott Walker won in Wisconsin in 2010 and 2014. There was no Green Party candidate for governor in the race, and yet Walker won. What do Democrats blame it on? You know, in 2002 and 2006 in Wisconsin, we did have Green Party candidates for governor on the ticket, and yet Jim Doyle, the Democrat, won. So, you know, this idea that Greens spoil things for Democrats, I find kind of bizarre. And I think getting into that blame game has prevented the Democrats from doing some really necessary soul searching, right? Why are they losing voters to people like George W. Bush? Why are there so many blue-collar Democrats who are looking at people like Donald Trump as a credible candidate? That's what I think Democrats who are supporting Hillary need to confront instead of wasting any time criticizing the Green Party.
Pat from Monroe would like to hear more about who Jill Stein is and what the Green Party actually is. I mean, we only have an hour, so is there? Maybe talk a little bit about what is so different about the Green Party's platform than the Democratic Party's platform, Tony?
Well, the Green Party platform is rooted in what Jill Stein calls the Green New Deal, which is all about completely ending our reliance on fossil fuels, becoming 100% reliant on renewables by the year 2030, which is pretty ambitious. And the Green Party believes that that transition from dirty fuels to clean energy would create millions and millions of new jobs. It would be a real jobs program for the country. They're also this year talking about a complete cancellation of student debt to allow the millennial generation to get on with their lives and not be saddled with this massive and, I think, unethical and immoral debt. And I think the third major thing this year is that the Greens are talking about moving to genuine national health care, which they envision as simply taking the Medicare program and expanding it to all. The Democratic Party does not support cancellation of the student debt. The Democratic Party voted down in their platform a Medicare for All plank. And they're also uncomfortable with the idea of moving completely toward renewables, you know, by the year 2030. Definitely, they voted down a plank in the Democratic platform that would create a carbon tax that would help get us there. So there are some very meaningful differences in the platforms. And quite frankly, I mean, Hillary Clinton, it seems to me, wants to run a centrist type of campaign. She should really want a strong Green Party presence in this race. It would allow her to occupy the center more clearly than she currently does.
Let's go to the phones and take Bernie in Elkhorn now. Hi, Bernie.
Hi, good morning to all of you. Tony, I think your analysis is dead on all the points you've made. I was a Bernie supporter. I believe he broke his promise to supporters like me when he did not take the fight to the convention floor. You mentioned a number of things, two other key differences. The Democratic Party at the top, and I'm going to vote for every Democrat on the ticket in November except for Hillary. I'll be voting for Jill Stein. They're in favor of corporate trade deals. Hillary is lying about being opposed to the TPP. She helped craft the TPP. And they're in favor of military empire. Hillary is a neocon on foreign policy. You could see at the Democratic convention that Madeleine Albright spoke, and you might remember her famous quote about 500,000 dead Iraqi children due to U.S. sanctions when she was Secretary of State under Bill Clinton being worth it, and they didn't even count anybody over the age of five. And to the point about the spoiler effect, you have to vote for the best person on the ballot. Hillary's vote for the Iraq War alone disqualified her in my mind. You got to vote for the best person, and if the Democratic Party was serious about eliminating that problem, they would institute what Jill Stein calls ranked choice voting, instant runoff voting, giving an optional second choice, but they will not do that. So given that and given the fact that all of us have a right to vote for people that we in our conscience feel is best and to build movement for the future through other venues, to let people know we're not going to stay home, we're going to vote, and we're going to make our voices heard. And we know Jill Stein, Gary Johnson, these folks aren't going to win, but it's very important for people to make their voices heard.
Thanks, Bernie. A reaction, Tony?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of probably everything that Bernie said. I mean, especially that point he made that if the establishment parties are really worried about the so-called spoiler effect, they could solve it today. All they have to do is put in place voting methods, runoff voting and things like that, that would make the spoiling impossible or at least very difficult. Yeah, he's talking about voting your conscience. And, like I said, I personally have not really made up my mind how I'm going to vote. I mean, for me, it's important that if the Green Party is going to run a presidential campaign, it can't just be a social media campaign. It can't just be ranting from the margins. There's got to be a serious commitment to grassroots organizing, that is, organizing people at the local level. If that kind of movement is going on, then I will vote for a third party at the national level. But if it's just, taking shots at the major parties at the top, I won't do that. It's got to be more than just the candidacy, for me personally.
So what are the problems that the Green Party faces in efforts to get its message out?
By far the main problem is the lack of mass media coverage. The overwhelming majority of Americans still get their political information from TV, and obviously television is completely biased toward the Republicans and the Democrats. That's why I was pleasantly surprised to see that there will be this town hall meeting with Jill Stein on August 17th, I believe 9 p.m. Central Time. I also think that the so-called Commission on Presidential Debates have kept out third-party candidates. They've established this bizarre 15% in the polls rule that effectively keeps all third-party candidates out of the race. I think if you put Gary Johnson and Jill Stein in those presidential debates, you would see their numbers go up fairly dramatically.
Yeah, and about where are they in the polls, Jill Stein in particular?
Stein, I believe, is around 4 to 5% right now, which is really incredible when you think about it. When you think of the complete lack of media coverage, it's incredible that she's at 4 or 5 percent. I believe Johnson is around at 9 or 10 percent. And, you know, this is interesting because this should be a good year for third parties because, you know, not only do the two establishment candidates have very high unfavorable ratings, but we've also got a situation where the millennial generation, which I believe is now the largest voting bloc, that generation seems to have very, very little respect, let's say, for the Republicans and the Democrats. So there really is an opening within that generation. And I think both the Libertarians and the Greens this year are trying to make inroads in that generation.
Here's a poll from CNN that came out on August 2nd. 13% of Sanders supporters say they are now backing Jill Stein, 13%. 10% of, again, Sanders supporters are going to back Gary Johnson, and 3% say they will vote for Trump. What's your reaction to that poll?
I think there's still a lot of time left before November. And, you know, you've got, especially on the Trump side, we're talking about the most volatile candidate probably in the entire history of the nation. I mean, think about this, Joy. He's having a rally in Wisconsin today up in Green Bay, and I believe none of the establishment Republicans are showing up. No Scott Walker, no Ron Johnson, no Paul Ryan. I mean, it's just absolutely extraordinary. There's a very competitive Republican congressional race going on in the 8th CD up there in Green Bay. I think only one of the candidates is showing up for Trump.
Those
poll numbers will change. I don't think the Bernie supporters are necessarily in one camp. Many of them will eventually vote for Hillary Clinton, probably out of fear that they'll buy the argument that if they vote somewhere else, they're somehow helping to elect Trump.
Let's go to Sue in Appleton. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I'm 75, and I have never voted for a Republican president, but this time, my sisters and I, who were all Republican Democrats, we're voting for Trump, and from the beginning, he's an outsider. He isn't part of the establishment. And that's what we're tired of, is the establishment lying to us, not doing anything for the people. And so that's who we're going for, is Trump.
Yeah. So I'm just curious, Sue, I'm glad you called and told us this, but have you looked at any of the third parties, like a Jill Stein?
Just a minute. Now, I've been listening to this man, and I've never paid attention to this Jill Stein, and that might be a possibility because I'm going to listen to that program when you said she's going to be on. But so far, my family is voting for Trump.
Yeah, so this family wants anti-establishment. They're tired of, Washington insiders, Tony.
And I think Sue represents a lot of people out there who identify with Trump on this anti-establishment ground. I would say to voters like Sue to please reflect very seriously on whether you think that Trump really has the temperament to be in that office. I mean, the one thing that Hillary Clinton said in her speech that I hope all Americans listen to closely is that if a man gets rattled by a 140-character tweet, is that really someone that you want to support? So can we trust that person with the nuclear code? So I hope, Sue, that you do look at people like Jill Stein, and her website is jill2016.com. Now, Sue said she's never voted for a Republican before. I assume she has voted for Democrats. And I think for Democrats listening, especially Democratic activists, you need to ask yourself, why are you losing people like Sue? right? Why are people like Sue and others in Wisconsin voting for Scott Walker? You can't keep blaming the Greens. You can't keep blaming redistricting. You can't keep blaming the money in politics. At some point, you have to look at what are you offering these voters? And I think a lot of the, especially Bernie supporters who looked at the Jill Stein campaign favorably are saying, yeah, these are the things that we want, and these are the things that we need to move to in this country. And if the Democrats are not supporting them, or if they're only giving them lip service and then not acting on them, we're going to show them we have an exit strategy.
Thanks very much, Sue. Again, it's more poll numbers, but it is interesting that a lot of new state polls, including swing states, Pennsylvania and others, national polls, are now showing that Hillary Clinton has gotten a big bounce from the Democratic convention, and perhaps Donald Trump's feuds with Gold Star parents and all sorts of other things, and the bad, very bad week that he's having now. She has a double-digit lead in a lot of these states.
Yep.
Tony, what do you make of that?
Well, it seems like the Trump campaign is imploding. I mean, every other day there's more evidence that he simply does not have the temperament to be in that office. And, you know, the other day ABC News floated a story that there's some talk within the Republican hierarchy of a scenario in which Trump somehow drops out before November, and what complete chaos that would create for the Republican Party. What would they do at that point? I don't anticipate that to happen. But yeah, you know, I'll tell you, Joy. Last night, I think it was in was it Portland, Maine? I think we saw the perfect symbol of what the Trump campaign has become. He had a rally, very well attended, and protesters were standing silently holding constitutions up in the air, a copy of the Constitution. And we had the spectacle of people removed from a Trump rally simply for holding up the Constitution. Mm. I cannot think of a better symbol of the Trump campaign in 2016, and I hope that your caller, Sue, and her friends think about that as they go to vote in November.
Walt in Fort Atkinson is with us. Hello, Walt.
Good morning. Some of my points were made, so I will try to clarify and cut to the chase. I just want to restate that because of our system, it's a two-party system, because it's a winner-take-all, and that's mandated by the Constitution. Like it or not, a third-party candidate will always take votes away from the people that they're closest to and assist the candidate that they're furthest from. Jill Stein, like Ralph Nader, is going to do damage to Hillary's campaign. And my feeling is, if especially Ralph Nader, if he really wanted to do some good, he could run for an office that he could actually win. He could run for a state attorney general or a governor or the Congress. But rather than do that, they go all the way to the end. I think Jill Stein, like Ralph Nader, they should, seeing the risk. I mean, the risk of a Trump presidency is so big that I think you need to step back and say, if you're Jill Stein, we can't take this risk. I want my supporters to vote for the most liberal congressional races, but support Hillary Clinton.
All right. We have just a minute before news. Tony, what about that approach?
I respect Walt and his point of view. I think it's a very common one. However, I don't think facts really back it up. I think the majority of third-party voters would probably stay home, and we're seeing that, right? So many people in the United States don't vote. And the other thing is, yeah, we know third parties in this country have a tough time winning, but on the other hand, they serve the function of keeping some policy ideas alive. Almost everything that we take for granted in this country, Social Security, voting rights, for women, ending child labor, all of these ideas began in third-party campaigns.
Let me jump in, because we do have news next, and then we'll talk more about third-party campaigns and the presidential race. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with one of our Week in Review regulars this hour about the Green Party. We are talking with UW Oshkosh Professor Tony Palmieri, who ran as a Green for state legislature in 2004. The Green Party is holding its nominating convention as we speak. Candidate Jill Stein expected to get that nomination tomorrow. And we're wondering if you are a Green Party supporter and why or why not. Are you a Bernie Sanders supporter who is considering voting for Jill Stein or maybe someone other than Hillary Clinton? Why is that? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Or do you think voting for Jill Stein or any third party candidate is the wrong move because it might hurt either the Democratic or the president or the Republican nominees, or do you think maybe it's a wasted vote? Why or why not? Tony Palmieri, what's your answer to the argument that a third party vote is a wasted vote?
I don't think it's ever a wasted vote to vote your hopes, vote your dreams. I mean, I come at this as a teacher, Joy. You know, when my students ask me about voting, I say, do your research, find out what you value, find out what you believe in, and vote for what you believe in. I mean, the way Jill Stein puts it is we've got to get out of this mindset of being happy with the lesser evil. We should vote for what we perceive as the greater good. You know, the Populist Party in 1892, I believe, got maybe 9% of the vote. Yet the platform of that party had within it things that we take for granted today. I think history looks very kindly on the people who voted for the Populist Party that year. Fighting Bob La Follette in Wisconsin ran a third-party campaign for president in 1924, an inspiring campaign. He, too, had in his platform and in his campaign things that today we take for granted and many things that we still have not gotten to. Are we to say the people who voted for Fighting Bob in 1924 wasted their vote? I think that's absolutely absurd. The people who voted for those third-party candidacies were voting for hopes. They were voting for policies that this country needs to move toward. So anyone out there voting for third party, you know, please don't think you're wasting your vote.
Sharon in Minocqua is with us. Hello, Sharon.
Hello. Thank you very much for taking my call. One of the previous callers kind of touched on my comment or my point of view. I've supported many third party candidates in the past, and especially the Green Party. The one thing that I've noticed, though, is that, and your guest also kind of touched on this as well, is that these third party candidates get so little attention in the media. But one of the ways to maybe overcome that is to have more people running at local levels for local offices or state offices instead of shooting for the presidential ticket, and building support through the kind of on a grassroots level to get the message out of what that particular party really stands for and represents. And I'll just listen to the comments from your guests.
Thank you, Sharon. So, Tony, when you ran as a Green Party candidate for state legislature, what was your experience like?
Well, I'll tell you, I ran as a Democrat in 1996, and then I ran as a Green in 2004. I did not win either time, but I have to say that the 2004 run as the Green was, I thought, a lot more fun and a lot more valuable because I spoke about the issues I wanted to. It drew out of the woodwork a lot of incredibly idealistic people of all age groups, by the way, who just wanted to feel good about politics and the idea that we could speak truth to power. When I ran as a Democrat, and by the way, there are some really fantastic people in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, by the way, do not get me wrong. But when I ran as a Democrat, the obsession was with raising money. And I think this is what needs to happen, right? People have to stand for something and get away from the big money chase and whatnot. But your caller, Sharon, is right. I mean, I tend to vote for a third party at the national level if that third party is making a good faith effort to organize at local levels. I'm not interested in rhetorical bomb throwing at the national level. There has to be an attempt to elect people locally. A couple of Greens here in Oshkosh, myself included, got elected to the Oshkosh City Council, which is nonpartisan. And I think we need to see more of that kind of thing. And when you get people elected at the local level, school boards, county boards, city councils, that could help build the movement to attain higher offices. So she's right.
Thanks very much, Sharon, for the call. Let's go next to Elizabeth in Green Bay. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi. So I have a whole bunch of comments I wanted to do, but I'll go short. So the main one, going back to the two callers ago, as far as it being a two-party system, let's just hypothetically say it is only a two-party system that can never change. We, the people, still have the ability to decide who those two main parties are going to be. So this could just be a normal part of historical change right now, where we've decided that the Republican Party is falling apart. It's not good anymore, and we can elect in a third party, be that Libertarian or Green. I prefer the Green Party. That's who I will be voting for. But then I also wanted to say quick, just on top of that, that as far as Trump not being an insider, he has been friends with the Clintons for decades, and he has worked with a lot of insiders in different fundraising stuff for decades. And Trump is also going to court for sexual assault in just a few months. And so one of the girls that he's accused of sexually assaulting, the Clintons are also tied to. So if we really want change and to have a better world, we can't keep voting for the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Elizabeth. I wish you would have stuck with your first comment and not gone into. I didn't want to open up a whole new can of worms with legal action, which I'm not completely familiar with regarding Trump, and make those kinds of comments on the air. But that being said, Tony, let's go back to the original comment that you know, voting for a third party. The Green Party might be one of the two parties in the future.
It could be. I mean, let's face it, the Republican Party started off as a third party. We had the Whigs and the Democrats throughout the mid-19th century, and finally the Whig Party folded. There were enough people calling for abolition and transformation of the society that the Whig Party could not handle it, and we got the Republican Party. You know, I'm going to go way back, Joy. In the election of 1844, the Whig candidate was Henry Clay, and the Democratic candidate was James Polk. In that day and age, Clay was the lesser evil because Polk wanted to invade Mexico, which we ultimately did. But here's the thing. Both Clay and Polk were slave owners. That year, there was a third party, the Liberty Party, James Birney. Appropriately, his name was Bernie. He got 2% of the vote. He was the abolitionist candidate. Do you think anyone who voted for James Birney in 1844 should have been embarrassed by that vote? I don't think so. Ultimately, they stood for something that had to happen. And I think this year, right, we've got two candidates that are pretty much both candidates of the 1%. And I can see a scenario where a lot of voters, not just the Bernie voters, say, you know, it's time to stake out a different ground. Someone who's got an agenda that is really for the 99%. So, yeah, maybe we could see the displacement of one of the establishment parties within the next 5 or 10 years. Yeah. Some people think that Trump has already destroyed the Republican Party. I wouldn't say that, but he has certainly had a powerful impact on it.
I almost hate to, because we have so little time, but when someone says something like that on the air, I feel like we have to check it, to fact check it. Do you know, Tony Palmieri, if Donald Trump is facing court action over sexual assault charges?
I'm not sure, Joy, but I think that there's already more than enough grounds on which to not vote for Trump for someone who's uncomfortable with voting for him. I'm just not sure about all that.
Yeah. Let's share on Facebook. Brandy says, Brian had it right. In the primaries, you vote with your heart, but once the candidates are chosen, if yours didn't make it, you must vote with your head. In an ideal world, you can vote for a third-party candidate and have a chance, but not now. I don't agree with it, but that's how it is. There simply isn't enough votes for a third-party candidate to win, and in my case, I will vote for the person most likely to beat Trump. Others may vote for the candidate most likely to beat Hillary. It's called politics, and it's not much different than chess. What do you say to that?
More power to him. He can vote the way he wants. Just don't deny anyone else the right to vote how they want. I think that that position is the kind of position that keeps people home. And, you know, as I said, it's not really even clear to me that a strong Green Party presence hurts the Democrats. I mean, if their goal is to occupy the center, having a Green in the race, I think, helps them do that. And as I said earlier, in 2002 and 2006 in Wisconsin, we had some pretty good Green Party governor candidates, and yet the Democrat won in those years. In 2010 and 2014, the Democrats couldn't blame the Greens for losing to Scott Walker. Maybe had there been a strong Green candidate on the ballot in each of those years, the Democrats would have been better. Of course, we'll never know.
Well, let's go to Jillian in Appleton next. Hi, Jillian.
Hi, I want to start by just thanking you very much for having this program. I think it's high time we got more publicity for the Greens and the Green Party. But there's one thing that's been said that I want to give a different view on, and that's the claim that people who are carrying on about how we've got to defeat Trump are just doing what Trump is doing. I would say this. What Trump is doing is basing a campaign on fear of anyone who isn't male and white and rich.
And because we have just a minute to go, Jillian says we have the right to fear Donald Trump. Thoughts on that, Tony?
No, I agree with her. It's a different type of fear, a different type of anger appeal. But let me say this, as someone who works a lot with millennials, college students, to argue with that group that you've got to vote for one candidate because the other candidate is so bad, that is a non-starter with millennials.
Yeah.
So I'll say to Democrats out there, if that's the approach you're going to use, especially with young voters, it's a losing proposition. Many of them are going to stay home at that. So you have to find affirmative, positive reasons to vote for your candidate. You know, as I said earlier, I'm not in the Never Hillary camp. I do think she's made some good movement toward the Sanders side. I do have a lot of doubts about Hillary Clinton, but I'm going to keep my mind open until November, personally.
Thank you, Tony, for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Tony Palmieri, Professor of Communications at UW Oshkosh. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.